Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you. There's a change that came over me. I thank God for that song by Tamla Mann. There's some other, I'm trying to think of the first song she sang. It just really blessed me. Hey, welcome to the Word That Means. I am Louis Beasley, Apostle of Jesus Christ, called by the will of God to all the saints and faithful in Christ Jesus. We'll ask Pastor Bill if she'll give us a word of prayer, and then we'll get into today's lesson. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Good afternoon, everyone. And Pastor, thank you for that selection. A wonderful change has come over me. Amen. Amen. The scripture I'd like to share is coming from Second Corinthians 5 and verse 21. For he had made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Amen. Heavenly Father, we want to say thank you for your word today, Father God. We're thanking you for this broadcast and all those that are listening and all those who are listening by internet, Father God. We give you praise, and we just want to just draw closer to you and be in this word and allow your word to be in us, Father God, that we know that we are the righteousness of God. Lord, we just give you praise. We bind up anything and everything that may try to come up against this broadcast, try to come up against the listeners and all those that participate and our pastor, Father God. Lord, we ask that you be with all those who've asked us to keep them in prayer, for you know what they're going through, Father God. Give them a peace of mind, Father God. Let them know that as long as they put their trust in you, you will supply all of their needs according to your glory, Father God. transported to the riches in heaven, Father God. Lord, we ask that you will be with those who are bereaved today, Father God. And, Lord, we know that you are giving them that peace that they need. And we're praying that a word will be shared with them, that they will come closer to you, that they will know that it's time for a change to take place in their lives, Father God. Lord, be with each and every one. Be with those that have been affected by the hurricanes. And we're so thankful for those that were able to come away and be free, and for those who had to endure, that things are well with them. And I just thank you, Father God, that you are in control, and we just have to remember to trust in you, Father God. Lord, we ask that you would be with those who have asked us to keep them in prayer, Father God. We're praying for Evangelist Sharon, Evangelist Renee, and any others that are standing in the need of prayer for their healing, for their deliverance, and for their closer walk with you, Father God. Lord, open up our hearts and our mind to this word today, Father God, that we will get this word in the lining of our hearts, that we are able to share it with others. And we ask that you continue to be with our pastor, guide and direct him, Father God, in the path you have set for him. And, Lord, we just give you praise, and we're thanking you in advance for all of your many blessings and this word that we're about to receive. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor. Sometimes I think you be in my mind, Pastor. But that's the scripture we, and thank you for that beautiful prayer. We left off on this scripture yesterday on 2 Corinthians 5:21. Mm-hmm. And we want to pick it back up. Also, I want to make sure that everybody understand what I meant when I said substitute. When you read this, you'll see that it's a substitute, and that's what we believe in God for his substitutionary work become real in our life. We want that to become real in our life, not just words, but a reality of it. It's part of the new creation. This righteousness make us who we are. This we have a righteousness covering. We have a righteousness covenant. The covenant that we now enjoy is predicated on righteousness. But here's the thing. We got to believe in it. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. You got to believe in this stuff, brothers and sisters. Simply means you got to start acting on it. You got to act everything God say, act like it. And once you begin to stand and declare your righteousness, it's nothing that won't become right. So we're going to ask Evangelist Sharon if she'll read it out of the King James, and then as pastor, she'll read it out of the Messenger Bible. That's 2 Corinthians 5:19-21.
Good afternoon, Pastor Beasley.
Yeah, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Pastor Bell. Thank you for both that beautiful selection and that beautiful prayer.
Yeah,
really woke my spirit up. Thank you, Lord. In King James, it reads as follows. To wit that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not in putting their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead be ye reconciled to God, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Amen.
Amen, amen. Praise God. From the Message Bible, God put the world square with himself through the Messiah, giving the world a fresh start by offering forgiveness of sins. God has given us the task of telling everyone what he is doing. We're Christ's representatives. God uses us to persuade men and women to drop their differences and enter into God's work of making things right between them. We're speaking for Christ himself now. Become friends with God. He's already a friend with you. How, you ask? In Christ. God put the wrong on him who never did anything wrong so we could be put right with God. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
I just think that this is so awesome when you read it and understand it. And I want to make sure that I clear this up because someone said, well, I didn't see the word substitute in the Bible. No, that's not, I didn't say it was in there. Here's what I said. What I said was when you read this scripture, it's a substitutionary. In other words, it's substitute. God made Jesus our sin. So we can get his righteousness. So Jesus became the substitute.
Amen.
Y'all help me out here. When you substitute something, because one of the listeners wanted to make sure they understood, so I want to make sure, no, we didn't say it was in the Bible. We was explaining to you that God made Jesus to become sin for us. He became our substitute. So we could become righteousness. God have always had substitute. He would use the lamb. He would use the blood of an ox or a goat to cover our sin. God have always used a substitute.
Amen.
Have you ever went to school? And when you was in school, your teacher didn't show up, but there was another teacher was there?
Yes, that's right.
They call that a substitute.
Isn't that right?
Isn't that what they call them, a substitute? They weren't there for a permit, but they were the substitute. They did what needed to be done.
Exactly.
They carried out what needed to be carried out.
Yeah.
You know, the teacher wasn't like Miss Smith, but it was a substitute. So when I talk about the substitutionary work, God made us in this life. And we're going to talk about how it was done because you got to first understand that 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for he have made him to be sin for us. So Christ became our substitute. He became our sin. So you don't have no sin now.
Yes, amen. That's right.
You don't have no sin. You know why? Because we were created. But you got to believe it. You got to believe it. That's the key. So we start. I got a couple scriptures I want to start with. But first, I'm going to start with Genesis. Because over in Genesis, let me go there first. In Genesis 15:6,
in the King James, it reads as follows. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. Amen.
Amen. From the Message Bible. And he believed God, cleared him, set right with God. Amen, amen.
So, you see, your belief, by you believing, become your righteousness. You believe in Christ, you believe God made him to become sin, then you get righteousness. Woo, I better say that one again. Because you believe that everything you ever did or going to do, Christ became that sinful thing. When you believe that, God said, you know what? I count it as righteousness. Not because of what you did and all that stuff, but because your belief in Christ.
Yeah.
I believe he became my sin. So I ain't trying to pay for it myself. I ain't trying to take care of it because it's been taken care of already.
Yeah.
So I exchange, amen. I get his righteousness now. So therefore I can declare that I'm the very righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You know how I believe that? I'm going to tell you how you know I believe that. Because I confess that. And mm-hmm. I live that. I operate like that. I'm not trying to cover up no sin, brother and sister. I'm not trying to handle no sin issue. Christ did it for me.
Hallelujah.
I said, you take my sin, I'm going to take your righteousness. And so I put that in my heart and say, well, hey, I'm the righteousness of God. So I don't care what took you on yesterday. I thought that was one of the most, I don't even have the right words for this. When I think of miracle, I don't know a greater miracle for the New Testament than God made Jesus sin for us. He came down in our spirit, took out the sin, put righteousness, and we was never asleep. But he did it.
Thank you, Lord.
Now, we become the righteousness of God in him. Think about it like that, brothers and sisters. Think about it. Then I like this scripture over in Philippians. I think it was Philippians. Was that Philippians 2? I read. Because sometimes you got to know that you're what God say you are.
Mm-hmm.
So in Philippians 2, let's read 1 through 4. Now, I know somebody going to say, well, that's not homiletically correct and all that. I get all that. But I want to make a point here. I'm going to show you something.
In the King James, it reads as follows. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any vows and mercy, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Excuse me. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. Let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Amen.
Amen, amen. And may I have that scripture again, please?
Philippians 2, 1 through 4. Should have let it read fine, but you're okay.
Okay. All right. Praise God and thank you. From the Message Bible, if you've gotten anything at all out of following Christ, if his love has made any difference in your life, if being in a community of the Spirit means anything to you, if you have a heart, if you care, then do me a favor. Agree with each other. Love each other. Be deep-spirited friends. Don't push your way to the front. Don't sweet-talk your way to the top. Put yourself aside and help others get ahead. Don't be obsessed with getting your own advantage. Forget yourselves long enough to lend a helping hand. Amen. I'm going to go ahead and do 5. Think of yourselves the way Christ Jesus thought of himself. He had equal status with God, but didn't think so much of himself that he had to cling to the advantages of that statue no matter what. Amen.
Yes. Amen. And five is very important. So let me read it out of the King James as well. Let this mind be in you. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Amen.
Hallelujah. 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 Thank you,
Lord. I was trying to share on yesterday. Brothers and sisters, See, the world have messed us up with all that foolish teaching. They don't want you to know you're not robbing God of anything because you say, well, I got the mind of Christ. He took my sin, so I got his righteousness. How are you going to have his righteousness without thinking like him? Without allowing, because that's what the word let me, it means you allow this mind to be in you now, which was also in Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
Not Jesus Christ, but Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God. So why would you think it's robbery when God said it's okay? It's okay. Because I took your sins and you taking his righteousness. You should have the same attitude that Christ had. If you took on Christ, you ought to take on everything with Christ, the love.
Yeah.
You ought to be on one accord.
Say that, Pastor.
Yeah.
But because the Bible says, see, you got to know the end of condemnation is past tense, people. We're in this new and living way. We're not living under the hard taskmaster anymore. When Romans 8:1 has been an almost unknown scripture, when he said, therefore, now is no condemnation to them which are in Spirit Jesus. It says in Christ Jesus. That's what it says. If you're in the Spirit, you're not condemned.
That's right.
Now, if you're not in the Spirit and you're in Jesus Christ, you're going to be condemned. But if you're in Christ Jesus, you won't be condemned. Not for as God is concerned. See, we have known that we could stand before the Father just as freely as Adam did in the garden, as Jesus did in his earthly walk. It would have made life a great deal differently, or we would see things differently, knowing that you are free to stand in Christ. So when he said, therefore, when a man be in Christ, he is a new creation. You're something new because you've been created in Christ. That's what you're, that's how you're being made up. You're being made up in Christ, brothers and sisters.
Hallelujah.
Some of this. Scripture that I want to get to, but let me tell you what. God, in his redemptive work, he had you and me in play, in mind, because he knew that Christ was going to take our place. I get excited when I think about how much harmony God put in this.
Yeah.
You can now boldly tell the world that we are in Christ and not be ashamed. We can boldly declare that we are crucified with Christ. We can boldly declare that as Christ lives, so do we live. Because Christ lives in us. That's another part of that miracle. People always come out, man, get this miracle. Oh, if I could just see this, if God would show me this. No, if you'll get this, then the other stuff will come. Remember, there's first things first, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness. Not yours, but his righteousness. Not mine, but his righteousness. And his righteousness has nothing to do with what you're thinking. Nothing to do with what you think. His righteousness is the faith. That's why when I read that about Abraham, you know, in Genesis 45:26, he told him saying, Joseph is yet alive, and he is the governor over all the land of Egypt. And Jacob's heart fainted, for he believed them not. Listen, brothers and sisters, if you don't get this, you're going to be doomed. I'll just put it to you that way. So they thought Joseph was dead.
Yes.
They didn't know because they thought they had They're not even left for dead. Listen, brother, sister, you got to believe God. All through the scripture, yeah. I mean, I don't know which one you want. I mean, I can take you to from Genesis to Revelation. It's about believing. We have to believe in this substitutionary work.
Yes.
Jesus met the centurion. Remember, he told him to go that way. And as soon as the man left and went his way, the thing was done. Because he told him, he said, you don't have to come to my house. Just speak the word. And the Bible says in that same hour, Well, what made that happen? Because the man acted on it. He believed it. He believed what Jesus said. Matthew 9:28. We're going to go there for a moment. In Matthew 9:28, because it's about believing. You got to believe in the substitutionary work, or you'll never have righteousness. You got to act on it. You got to declare and decree it. But in Matthew 9:28, would you be so kind to read that, Evangelist Shem?
Yes, it reads as follows. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus saith unto them, believe ye that I am able to do this. They said unto him, yea, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Praise God. From the Message Bible, when Jesus got home, the blind man went in with him. Jesus said to them, do you really believe I can do this? They said, why, yes, Master. Amen. Hallelujah.
The man was blind.
But they believed.
And they came to him. Because obviously they couldn't see him.
Right.
But they believed it. The Bible said that the blind man came to him. I don't know how they came to him. I could give you a whole lot of scenarios, but I guarantee you when his cologne, they couldn't see his sandals.
Right.
But they believed Jesus could do it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why they came to him. So Jesus said, you believe ye that I'm able to do this? They said, yeah, Lord. Yes, sir. You can, if anybody can do it, you can do it.
That's right.
Listen, brothers, it's about believing in this righteousness. I told you all yesterday when I left you, but there was two kinds of righteousness. We're going to either do our own righteousness or we're going to take the righteousness of God. The righteousness of God is an eternal righteousness. And God's righteousness have nothing to do with the law. Nothing to do with what you've done. God's righteousness has nothing to do with any of that. God's righteousness is about eternal life. So his grace have already took care of sin, because the Bible said Jesus, God made Jesus to be sin for us so we could be right or be in right standards. Well, why do we need to be in right standards with God? Here's why we need to be in right standards with God. So you can have your eternal life. That's why you want to be in right standing. Yeah. If Abraham had to believe God, you don't have to? Remember, he's the father of the faithful.
Yes, he is.
And I know I'm kind of skipping, but there's some things I need to share, and maybe we'll get into it tomorrow. But you got to know that God have reconciled us. He have called us ambassadors now for us to go tell this message to the world and let the world know that there are neither Jew nor Gentile in the body of Christ. We are all one, one man in Christ.
Yeah.
See, the moment you get in Christ, you stop being a Jew. You stop being a Gentile. You stop being all of this stuff. You stop being Baptist. You stop being Methodist. You stop being Seventh-day Adventist. See, once you get in Christ, all that stuff stops.
Mm-hmm. All right, now.
It's very important that we understand that, that people who are trying to live under the Mosaic covenant, you got to learn, brothers and sisters, the real fact. The real fact, and that's according to Galatians 3:21. Maybe I'll, okay, we're going to be running over a little bit. Okay, praise God. How about Galatians 3:21? If you need to go on back to work, I understand. Thank you so much for joining us. Okay, Galatians 3:21. Anybody else need to go? We're going to be running over time a little bit. Well, we ain't trying to bamboozle anybody. We're letting you know up front. We will be running over about 10 minutes. So, and if you got to go, I do understand. I had a problem. But right now, we want to read Galatians 3:21.
In King James, it reads as follows. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. Amen.
Amen. Bring the message, Bible. If such is the case, the law then an anti-promise, a negation of God's will for us? Not at all. Its purpose was to make obvious to everyone that we are in ourselves out of right relationship with God, and therefore to show us the futility of devising some religious system for getting by our own efforts, what we can only get by waiting in faith God to complete his promise. Amen.
Yeah. See, there were some things the law could not do. And we may pick that up tomorrow and talk about what the law could not do. But the law cannot give you eternal life. See, you can keep every law Moses has. And there's people right now, and I don't know if y'all believe this or not, but there's people right now want to practice the law to the T, and they're going to die and end up in hell because it won't give you eternal life. There's nowhere in the law that gives you eternal life. Show me one scripture where you're going to have eternal life. You ain't going to have it. And you sure God can't keep it and get it. That's why it's called the law of sin and death. I keep telling you all that.
Uh-huh.
And y'all get that revelation sooner or later that when you sin, you die. That's why you want to live on the grace and truth. See?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
The law cannot give eternal life to no man. The law cannot give righteousness to no man. The law can't do that. See, if the law could have done that, then Christ needed not have died. How did he die?
Yeah.
Pointless. It's pointless. But because all men needed to do was to keep the Mosaic law, the Ten Commandments, and he would be alive in righteousness. But because he was not alive nor righteous, because he had died, remember, he had to be covered with the blood of bulls and of goats. And every year, the blood represented life, a type of life of God that was to be given to the new creation. That was all substitute. That's what I was telling you. It was part of the substitutionary work. That's what they did. They get the blood of a bull, a goat, and the priest speaking of priests, well, I wish I had time. We'll not deal with that tomorrow. But just let me tell you what. If Christ your high priest, then who's the priest? If Christ the high priest, what that make, where's your priest? Because the only one to deal with the high priest was the priest. See that? So that's why we're the priest. We're part of a royal priesthood. That's what we are. That's why you don't need man. You got direct contact with Christ. Before, we didn't have that. In the old, we didn't have that. You had to go to the priest, and the priest gave your sacrifice to the high priest. That's the way that went. That was the order. That's what was mandated. That's what you had to do. You didn't have no right to go up into the holiness of that area. Then you had on top of that the holiness of holiness. You didn't have that right to do that or go there. Matter of fact, it was just enough glory right there to kill you, because in order to get to that part, you had to dip seven times.
All right.
Yeah. But in this new and living way, we don't have to do that. Not if you're talking about righteousness, not if you're talking about truth.
Yeah.
So did you ever notice that the Father does not command the new creation in Christ to love him? I wonder why. I got an answer. Because he has God's nature in him.
All right.
See, he doesn't have to command us to love him because we already love him. We have his nature in us, bless God.
Hallelujah.
Thank
you, Lord.
Nature is already in us.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Think about that, because I was asking the Lord, well, what's up with this love? God said, well, you don't have to, I'm not going to command you to love me because you already love me. You know how I know? Because you keep my word. So we have God's nature living in us. When God raised Christ from the dead, he raised us from the dead.
Amen.
Matter of fact, the last time I checked, we were born of love.
Yes.
And I tell you what Jesus did say, over there in John 13:34, he did say to love ye one another, even and love the Father as yourself. But he don't command us to do the stuff that the enemy have taught us. Now, but I thank you all for the little overtime today, and we'll see you all tomorrow, and we'll pick it up there on the righteousness of the law. We'll pick it up tomorrow.